Yeah. All right, this is Rabble Rousing
Talk Radio.
Yo, this is your boy, the icon, the number one guy in this business, Tornado Tony Panicow.
This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Yeah, and this is the number one guy in this business, your icon, the Tornado Tony Panicow.
We're live for the Fight Moves Unloaded Combat Sports Show. Tonight we have Mike Pierce. We're going to have Chris Lytle again. You know, we had a great interview with him. Or how he missed his headbutts not too long ago. So, we also have a couple other guys in the works. David DeCrow, the Wiseau. I want to get him. He's pretty good.
How many interviews are you trying to get for tonight?
No, we only have one guy for tonight, Mike Pierce.
Yeah, but you sound like you were trying to get more.
No, for down the road.
Oh, all of a sudden I'm like, dude, we got like an hour.
So I guess we got to do quick hit shit. What do we got coming up for boxing there, Tony?
Well, let me just go over what I went over last when I went over, I was talking to you a little bit ago. I thought we were live. The fight from last weekend was on ESPN2, and as I was saying, I didn't get a chance to see it because I had a visit early in the night from Mr. Sandman. I was pretty beat. I didn't get to see it. It was a battle of former contender alums between Sergio Mora, the champion of Season 1, and Brian Vera, who was a contestant on Season 3, and you know, went back and forth. It was a close fight. It was a split decision. My dad seemed to think the decision was fair. And Vera upset Mora, whose last fight was a draw with Shane Mosley. And both guys were cut, went through the cards, and Vera was able to pull it out. There wasn't really anything over on the weekend, nothing on HBO, nothing on Showtime. My friend Joey had invited me over to watch the UFC at his house, but unfortunately, I've been doing so much over the last few weeks. I'm working out again, really trying to, you know, get back in shape, feel a little bit better about myself. And by the time it was showtime, I was beaten. I was like, dude, I'm staying in. I can barely move a muscle. But that was the big Anderson Silva fight. As I said, I didn't get to see it, but from what I heard, it was a knockout of the year candidate.
All the cards, all the undercard fights were good too. John Bon Jones just destroyed his dude. I think it's a great fight. And I have all the names in front of me, but I got like five of them right in the predictions. Five in a row at the end of it all. I got a couple of the early fights wrong, but from then on, I just cruised right to the final one because I knew that I used to tell him who's going to win. That's definitely not going to put anything to happen to him. The level of legal testosterone in the system when they fought. So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
And he was begging for a rematch, like he did it all on natural talent. Nothing to do with the steroids. Testosterone. Way too high. That was crazy. But anyway. We got Mike Pierce on tonight. I didn't get to really watch much boxing last weekend, unfortunately.
For boxing-wise, there wasn't much on. The only real thing was ESPN2 fights between Sergio Mora and Brian Vera. I've been checking out a lot of the folks in the Spanish network. They always seem to be pretty fun. The Spanish announcers were always great. They could make paint drying sound exciting.
Spanish channels, they get all fired up. Spanish channels, like the Spanish control channels, it's like they really know how to objectify their women. Like even the soap operas, the women are in suggested outfits all the time. They know how know how to set a woman up to look good. I'm going to give them credit there. You know, but they objectify the women any chance they can get, especially on TV. It's kind of funny. But anyway. Yeah, actually, I'm out here in Vegas, and I didn't really apply for any press passes, but I could probably make a phone call and get into the Manny Pacquiao press conference that's coming here on Saturday. But I'm not really sticking around for all day Saturday at this point.
Right.
I already tried to change my rental car situation with Priceline, and it was like not happening. Bill Shatner was only on the phone for 5 seconds. And then I was on the phone with computers for half an hour. Didn't work out. So I think I'm stuck with my schedule. And one of the things that is a tip on, you want to go to Vegas, right, on a whim? You don't give a crap when you're coming back or when you're going out there where you have to have a layover. Just let them pick your deal. Just roll the wheel. You're going to Vegas anyway, right? Just roll the wheel. And they give you the shittiest flight situation they can possibly come up with. So I had to go to Newark, New Jersey, to stop there for 3 hours on the way to here, and then get here at midnight for them to tell me that I've got like 7 charges on my credit card from going in like 9 different states with credit applications. It's like, oh man, couldn't even get my rental car. Rough. Rough coming to Vegas like it should be. I wish I could do something fight
for
you. I'd love to meet Freddie Roach and bring up the fact that we've been trying to get his trainer on the phone forever. You know, his trainer was Iron Mike, the original Iron Mike. Yeah, I always talk about from Brockton there.
Wait. Eddie Roach was trained by Eddie Fox,
No, when he was really young, this guy.
Oh, okay.
Really young.
He had me off there for a minute.
But yeah, well, not when he was a pro or anything, but when he was really young, this guy taught him how to fight. I call him the original Iron Mike. Slash, the name is not coming to me at the moment, but.
It's Pusillari, isn't it?
Pusillari. That's what it was.
Of course.
Iron Mike before Iron Mike was Iron Mike. I could do it too. But,
Oh, man. That's the thing. Somebody said that Mike Tyson, I can't remember what the hell it was. I read something about him recently and was like, shit, I. I know this is totally off the subject, but there's some things like, you know, you watch something and they say something completely stupid, and then they put it on like a trivia question. I have a hockey game on deal on the TV next to me, and I glance over. Now tonight is the Flyers game, and I think they're retiring the number of like one of their all-time players. one of their all-time leading scorers and all this shit that had gotten traded to the Carolina Hurricanes back, you know, like 2000 or 2001, whatever it was. And of course, the Flyers tonight, retiring this guy, Rod Brindamore's number. They're playing the Hurricanes, the team they had traded them to. And then the trivia question was, since the team relocated to Carolina, who's their all-time leading scorer? Well, let me take a fucking guess. The guy whose number is being retired tonight? No shit. By the way, before we even get on any interviews, what did you think of the Super Bowl?
Oh, it was fabulous. Went right according to plan.
Yeah, Did you make any money off it?
I wish. I don't bet, you know.
No. Well, I made some money. I hit a quarter of a block pool at my one friend's pizza shop for $100. I'm kind of happy about that.
We got two.
But I'm a little.
If you want it, how about that?
What?
If you want to stay up late, we got 2 hours if we want it.
Well, I got $100. I'm happy. But the one thing that pissed me off was when Green Bay was going for that touchdown at the end, and they ended up kicking a field goal. If they would have scored the touchdown, it would have been 35-25, and I would have won on the 5-5 combo, which I don't think any game in the history of the NFL has ever ended in a 5-5 combo. I would have won $200
more. Well, I pretty much said it
was... Well, I'll take $100, I guess.
It was interesting. You know, I didn't think the defense was going to be the one that really carried the day, but surprisingly enough, I thought Ben Roethlisberger was the better running quarterback in that particular game, but...
Yeah, it was kind of shocking on that.
They didn't run. They didn't try to run. When they did try to run, it was unexpected. So, it threw the Steelers way off. I think they did a perfect coaching plan in that game. The defense just kind of stepped up and they had to. It's a good game. But I'm glad I picked Green Bay. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, I'm just glad the Steelers lost. There are too many Pittsburgh fans, and they annoy me.
Yeah. I liked Green Bay from the start of the season. I mean, when they asked me to write for opposingviews.com, actually, one of my first articles was the Packers had a punch. So, I don't know, I kind of had a feeling at the beginning of the season they'd be good. And they didn't even have Aaron Rodgers for every game, and they did great during the regular season.
Yeah. But, you know, I guess what you say, I mean, yeah, I'm not a big Packers fan, but I despise them less than the Steelers. I despise the Steelers almost on Dallas Cowboy level.
Dallas Cowboys. That's pretty low. Especially for... Hello? Can you hear me, Tony?
I can hear you.
Talk radio just came up in the headphone speakers, and I'm just using the microphone. I'm using some foreign technology out here in Vegas. They're trying to scramble me.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah, I seen two F-15s fly over today. That was pretty cool. I got some mean mountains out here.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Flying out here. Kind of weird too, because like I just came from 2 feet of snow, so nothing on the ground. There's actually green grass still around.
I'm actually getting ready for the Las Vegas boxing show, not this weekend, but next. So I'm going to give you a big report on that.
Cool.
And I'm actually also working on a huge article. It's a fight article, but it's going to be told by the first person. And it's going to, you know, chronicle what it's like getting in there, you know, the build-up to the fight, all that good stuff.
Right.
So it's going to be a, you know, it's going to be like a, what the hell is, shit, now I'm going to lose the words. I don't know how that ever happened before. But it's going to be a chronicle of one of my fights. Actually, the fight against Jordan, which was my last fight on the campus of Lock Haven. The other day was the 13-year anniversary. So that's why I posted the link up on Facebook, you know, for people to see, and it's like I'm still very proud of. So I'm going to go to a whole first-person perspective on, you know, just the day leading up to the fight, you know, the training that led up to it, and just what it was like, the mentality, the game plan. Because as much as tonight I was going out, purposely going out to get something, forgot the tickets that I needed to go. I will forget anything, you know, except for that day. I cannot remember everything from that day. It's like everything just, like, grained right into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be interesting, you know, not just for, you know, fight fans, but for people in general, what it's like, you know, being there, you know, knowing it was your last time that you're going to be performing in front of your home crowd, and, you know, just the anticipation leading up the whole week. Rich, you're going to get a couple, you know, mentions in the article because you were one of the opponents that was, you know, discussed for that week. It was you, Jordan, and a kid from Navy, A.J. Washington.
Ended up fighting? Do you even know?
That's what?
Do you remember who I ended up fighting on that show? Anyone? Is it even good?
I don't think you came down to that show, actually.
I missed it.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'll tell you right now, because I have, when I was doing some research, I pulled out my scrapbook that Dr. Cox would send us every year. And I was looking at that. I'll tell you right now, because we had an afternoon card, and then we had an evening card. Let's take a look. I'll tell you exactly who you were on there. I mean, you might have made the trip, and then, you know, not fought on the card. I can find it. Nope, that's not you. And so it's the afternoon card. Salem over Dylan. Booth over Roder. He was a kid from VMI.
Roder.
Conley over Lucio, who was a friend of mine.
Roder.
Mike over Hall. Edisol over Lavarzik. Alex Marone from VMI. He beat a kid from Penn State.
Alex Marone used to get uppercuts all the time. And I never threw any. My big regret in college is I did not throw enough uppercuts in my fights.
Yeah, I remember the kid,
Alex used to
because I remember the one fight he ended up getting beat by your boy, Jesse Vaughn, because I was there. I was at that fight.
My boy.
Yeah, your boy.
Tomorrow.
We had Malone over Kinsler. We had Rob Jordan over Jeremy Clark from VMI. Smith over Vignac from Ship. And Durandis over Bertuna. And Casey over Roberts. So, Casey, you didn't fight on the afternoon card. Then in the evening was Elmer over Jason Tomlinson from VMI, Lavarius over Fields, Sampson over Holderman, Bagno over Eric Marshall from VMI, Asher versus Herchek, Winton over Fielder, Foley over Hickey, Friel over Davis, Pennycal over Jordan, Austin over your boy Jesse Pond, Scott over Wynn, and Malley over Hermanson. So, no, you didn't get the fight on that card. Because you might have went, but... definitely didn't get a chance to compete.
Right.
Sucks, though. It's always a good card.
Well, we're going to get Mike Pierce on the phone here.
Yeah?
Get on the phone. I wasn't
what?
Quite. I was so in transit this week that I didn't fulfill my promise to have a boxing oriented show today.
It's okay. You know, we're still working on it. We'll get it done. I know I still got a couple guys in the boxing field that have expressed interest in being on the show.
You're going to get killed tonight. But, you know, I'm challenging you to ask Mike Pierce some questions about boxing right now. He's not going to know.
I'll try.
He's not going to hear it. Calling him right now. He's like, Mike, are you a good boxer?
Hello?
Mike.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going? This is Rambo Rouse and Rich Bergeron.
Hello?
We got Tony the Tornado Pennycal on the line with us as well.
Yo, what's up?
Thank you so
much. What's going on, man?
Not much. I just wanted to welcome you to the show. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what you get coming up? Do you get a big fight coming up?
I don't have anything in the works right now. I just fought at 126.
All right.
So I'm just kind of sitting back waiting to see who they want to throw me next.
Yeah. So what was your last fight?
What was my last fight?
Yeah.
It was UFC 126 this past Saturday, fighting Kenny Robertson.
How'd it go for you there?
It went real good. I knocked him out in 29 seconds of the second round.
That was you. Oh, all right.
that was me.
I thought that was a truck. I didn't catch the license. Man, that was a good one. It was definitely a good one. I did watch that.
Yeah, I was telling Rich I was supposed to go over to my friend's house on Saturday night. He kept inviting me over. He called me up during the week, but in the Philadelphia area, the weather has been so bad and so unpredictable the last few weeks.
I'm sitting there thinking, man, if I'm trying to take back roads, you know, to this guy's house, sometime around midnight getting home, even though I'm not going to be drinking over there, I'm like, the roads are going to be covered in ice. I said, yeah, I might see the fight. Then I said, I ain't going to make it home. unfortunately, I had to miss it. I mean, these guys are able to knock. I live about 25 minutes away. And I'm like, you know what? Nah, I can't. There's no way I'm going to be able to pull this one off.
That's too bad. Yeah, I know the weather over there has been kind of shitty for like the last several weeks, I guess, huh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm getting a lot of good working out though, shoveling snow and ice.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, actually, somebody told me the best. That's the little lake up by our house up there in New Hampshire where I live full time. And it's, you know, I'm actually training for an amateur boxing match again, coming back for a novelty card they call the Battle of the Badges around here. And, you know, just fighting the kid coming back from being on the lam. Last kid I fought ended up being the Golden Gloves champion. I boxed him for 2 rounds in a sparring match, and he broke my rib.
Wow.
So they kind of put me back on the bench for a while, let me think about things. Then I broke my ankle trying to do lumberjacking at my dad's house, so now I'm finally back feeling the ankle's doing better. Back training. And that was one of the best things for it, because it's cold anyway. You want cold on the injury. And it's it can work. You don't really run through deep snow until you get really good at it. Especially when it's got some ice in it, you know. It's a good workout.
Yeah.
But what's the secret to your success? I mean, you got a lot of wins here. You've been in the UFC for a little while. What do you do for your workouts that is the most important thing before a fight?
What's most important? I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of the mindset all things are equal. It's going to come down to who wants them more and who has the better conditioning. So a lot of my focus on the training camp at the very beginning is skill acquisition. So I'll focus really, really in on, like, my boxing. I'll focus in on my jiu-jitsu and my wrestling. And as the camp progresses, my conditioning will get more difficult as the technique will kind of become easier and easier. So it kind of reverse roles. In the beginning, I'm really heavy on technique, and later in the camp, it kind of reverses, and the cardio and the conditioning gets a lot more difficult because you're not going to really learn something that new that's going to be, you know, the thing that makes you win the fight, you know, in the last couple weeks. So, you know, it's going to be your cardio and everything else that wins you the fight. So that's kind of how I stress in my camp.
Right. Awesome. How did you first get into MMA, fighting in general? How did you first get into MMA?
I got a lot of static, man. I can barely hear you.
How did you first get into MMA?
How did I first get into MMA? God, that's a long story. I first got into it back in the day watching guys around my area like Randy Couture and Matt Lemon and Henderson, you know, when they first jumped into it and started making a name for wrestlers. And
So it took me a little bit before I finally gave it a fair shake. But, you know, those are the guys that kind of got me interested in it, just because, you know, I'd wrestled for several years, and I thought it was something that wrestlers could do well at, and it felt like a natural progression, because there's not really a good outlet for wrestlers. I mean, you could win a national title, maybe, you know, be lucky enough to go to the Olympics and win a medal, but after that, I mean, it's pretty much a dead-end road, and this was kind of, you know, a good outlet for us wrestlers to continue competing and make a little money at it. So that's kind of how I got into all this.
Right. Well, maybe you'd be a good person to try to answer this from a different perspective, but one thing I've been noticing, especially at the UFC level lately, is it seems to be more emphasis on putting on the show rather than the long, drawn-out grappling matches. They want to see the knockouts. They give the bonus for the submissions and the knockouts. Do you notice that it's kind of moving the MMA at that level to more of a striking game? Do you see that happening at that level?
Well, yeah, you know, there's going to be an even balance. I mean, everybody loves seeing a knockout. I love seeing guys get their heads taken off. You know, I mean, who doesn't love that? But at the same time, from a fighter's perspective, you kind of have to think of it in both ways. It's kind of a double-edged sword. On one end, you want to put on the show. You want to knock people out. You want to make the money. You want to get the fans excited and get behind you. But at the same time, you don't want to be one of those guys that goes out there, puts on a three-round war where you're both getting a butt kicked out of you, and then you have, like, you know, a two-fight career.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, I kind of think it's dangerous in some respects to have that mentality and just not let the game evolve the way it evolves. And if you're gonna provide bonuses, give everybody a little more money to fight, you know.
Well,
that's my perspective on it. I mean, I don't know whether they need to go as far as a fighter's union, but I think some of the things they do are driven for the wrong reasons. And they do produce results. You know, when you tell a guy you're going to get, you could possibly get $60,000 in bonus money if you knock him out. And if you get...
Well, yeah, it certainly gives you incentive.
Yeah, it's incredible incentive. And, you know, who knows what the thing about the sport that's so magical, though, is, you know, who knows what really means putting on a show anymore. You know, some guys put on a show, really do put on a show with their submissions, you know, so... It's just kind of crazy sometimes when you look
at it. Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, for the more educated fans that really know the sport inside and out, they can appreciate the ground game and the intricate work that it takes to control somebody. Even though they might not be pounding on a guy from start to finish, but they're controlling a guy, they're putting him in a position he doesn't, you know, want to be in at all. I mean, there's an art to that. There's a skill to it that people can appreciate if they really know the game, but... You know, you get a fan that's just coming in fresh and doesn't know anything about the sport. You see him get out there and kick someone in the face, or you see him elbow or punch him in the face and they drop. I mean, that's exciting. So it's just, I mean, you're going to get a mix of both worlds there.
Right. Yeah, it's been amazing to watch it grow. And back when I first watched it, it was actually the first Elite XC show. And then right after that, it was the first, the fight between Chuck Liddell and Rampage Jackson. And I think that was like a real turning point for MMA back in like 2006, when it really started catching on, and that pay-per-view was really popular. That was one of the huge, big ones. And, you know, I just really wasn't much of a fan until I started watching it myself. I didn't even really know much about it. It's starting to get mainstream, and I get to start watching it. And it was right around when I began my website. And I see all the aspects of how it grows, where it's growing. And, you know, it's just one of those things where I always have concern for the fighters, whether it's boxing or MMA. And sometimes I look around and I see that they're not really taking care of their fighters as well as they should. You know? And I don't know what the health and wellness program is and all that stuff, but, you know, these are the guys that literally shed blood for you. So you got to take care of them, you know? And I'm sure that they try to in every way, but, you know, if they're giving these bonuses out, they obviously have the capability to do more. And I think they should just spread it around, you know? Pay these guys more per fight. I mean, you think about it, I don't know what your training camp is like, but what does it cost, I mean, to do that kind of training? It's got to be a lot of money over the course of course of a real championship run, right? To do it right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, to do it right. I mean, you got people, you know, coaching jiu-jitsu, boxing, wrestling, you got a conditioning coach, you got, you know, for this last time I had a physical therapist just to do tissue work on me to make sure that I was up to par and that I was loose and ready. So, yeah, I mean, it's, to do a camp the right way, yeah, I mean, it can cost, it can get expensive, you know, especially if you don't have a whole bunch of training partners locally. I mean, I know guys like BJ Penn fly guys in to train a bunch of certified. So, I mean, that's just, it can get expensive.
Now, what do you love most about MMA?
What do I love most about? Honestly, I love smacking people, dude. Just hitting them right in the face. There's nothing better than that. Just hit them in the face and, you know, toss them in the air and, you know, making people do what they don't want to do.
Yeah. That's interesting. And what's your ultimate goal in this sport, let me say?
To be the best. You know, I've been asked that question before about, you know, what do you want to do? I mean, I think anybody that, you know, really wants to do something in this sport has to want to be the best and then wear the freaking strap around their waist, you know? I mean, I'm not one of those guys that has any desire to be the middle-of-the-road guy or to be a gatekeeper or any of that kind of stuff. You know, I'm in here to be the best. I want my hand raised to be at the top. So that's what I'm here to do.
Like a pep talk.
So. Well, no, I mean, that's the absolute right. I mean, it's like, you know, why go out there and, like, I mean, and I watch a lot of boxing. I mean, obviously, I've been involved in that sport for how many years now, and it's like, you know, like so many people, you watch them out there, and they're just going in there to lose. They basically go there, you can tell a lot of them they don't train. It's just, you know, it's frustrating to watch some of these guys that are basically paid losers anymore. They're trial horses, you know, they come in there. I mean, I've gone to a lot of fights where I was, and the one that popped out directly in my head is I was at a fight a couple years ago. I was covering it, and the main event had already passed, which was a very competitive fight. You know, the hometown fighter won, but he didn't have an easy time. And then the one fight was a kind of like a walkout fight. And it was a heavyweight fighter. He was 36-0 with like 32 knockouts. But he never fought more than a six rounder. And you can tell he's been fighting mostly, I'm not going to say stiffs or setups, but these were guys that were coming in there just to get a payday, and they were being brought in to get beat. And this guy that he was fighting was about 6'7". And I'm sitting there talking to a friend of mine that I had trained with, I was a former sparring partner with. And he's like, and I'm over there talking to him. He goes, "Don't you have to cover this fight?" I said, "I'm covering it right now." And I turned my notebook to him, and I had one word written down: Tim Burr. And within 30 seconds, I was right. The big guy got hit with one shot, and down he went.
Pretty good fight to be coming off of.
Yeah.
What's the secret to the explosive type of power like that? How do you develop that? What do you work on to get that kind of jump right off the bat?
Just love training and good boxing coaches, man. I've been training on that for the entire camp, and, you know, one of the things that I've been working on a lot is, you know, following up punch with another punch, just keep those combos rolling, you know. I mean, you get guys in there that throw one or two punches, and maybe they land one, maybe they don't, but they never really follow it up. And that's when you're going to really catch guys. I mean, you can talk to any boxer, they'll tell you the same thing, you know. And, you know, I've just been drilling that. And I don't even really remember throwing a left hook. It was so reactionary that, you know, I honestly thought it was the right hand that maybe caught it. But then, you know, looking back on the fight footage, it was a left hook that really dropped him, and that's when I jumped on him. But, yeah, man, just my boxing coach, Jamie Huey, has just been drilling that in my mind. It's become, you know, second nature.
Sweet. Oh, yeah, that was definitely a good fight. Did you get any bonus money?
Did I get any bonus? Well, I got the win bonus.
The win bonus.
The UFC used to do it a little different where, you know, they would hand out
fight of the night, set of the night, and knockout of the night, bonus money directly after the fights, right? But now they do it a little different where they wait 2-3 weeks and they mail it to you. So, you know, we'll see. Maybe in a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, I'll get something in the mail and be pleasantly surprised. But, you know, generally they do kind of like to reward the guys that finish fights, whether it's a sub, a knockout, or, you know, a TKO, whatever it is. So, well, I'm hoping for it. You know, I don't, you know, bank on that, but it's always nice to see that in the mail.
Well, yeah, I mean, I interviewed Bruce Buffer not too long ago. You know, this is the thing that he said with the kids are always brought up to us for a while. You know, they're good people, though. You know, they take care of those people that, you know, make them their money in a lot of cases. Some cases, not too much. Anyway, another story.
Do you get a lot of background noise?
Yeah, I think there's a commercial playing on the, it's weird, like we get interruptions. The phone is working fine, which is good through the right channels, but I'm getting the commercials interrupting through the headphones.
Yeah, I just kind of liked the static when that was going on.
Yeah. I think I got to get off. I guess it's Sure Dog's got too many ads on, Mike, with your record here. You got to tell them to take all the pop-up ads off with the noise.
Damn Sure Dog.
So what would you say was your best moment in sports so far?
Best moment in sports so far. Probably a couple of them. I can think of when I, you know, it was in that third round where I really turned it on against John Fitch that really opened a bunch of eyes and then got people to start talking about me. It was a good moment in my career so far in the UFC. And then, of course, this last win where I got a knockout, my first knockout in the UFC. So those have been kind of my personal favorite moments so far in my career.
Is there anybody out there you really want to fight badly?
There's nobody right on the top of my head that I'm, you know, super excited to jump in there and fight right now. I mean, you know, a lot of people are asking me this question, who you want to fight, and, you know, I want to fight somebody who's got a little bit of octagon experience and fight somebody on the main card. You know, these last fights in a row that I've had have all been newcomers to the UFC. And, you know, I've done my thing in the last two. So, I mean, I'm hoping that they give me somebody that has a little bit of experience and maybe a main card slot. You know, that's kind of what I'm hoping for.
Right. Well, you definitely made a statement with the knockout win there. So, I think they'd turn around and say, all right, well, it's worthy of a co-main event or two. See what happens, right? I think it was a pretty phenomenal show there. And they seem to be leaning towards that. You know, I don't know whether there's anything wrong with it, whether it's going to be, you know, better or worse for the sport. I'm not an expert in that area, but it kind of concerns me because it just seems like it's naturally more likely for guys to get cut up in concussions. Too much striking, so I'd rather just see the key evolve itself and be more wrestling and all around stuff. And one of the things about the growth of the sport that I've seen over the years is it's developed so much from one discipline type of deal. Or is it wrestling? Is it jiu-jitsu? Or is it boxing? That's going to be this guy's best strength. And you never knew. And now it's everything. You really never know. You know, every guy coming up through the system has to know everything. And that's why I think you see a lot of these older guys, not just because they're older, but just because they can't keep up with the new stuff coming up and the new blend of what these two kids have. And just the evolution of the training itself. I mean, now you got expert trainers in the sport out there and different camps. It's just incredible. And you got so much competition for the market, but it's good. It's good for the sport. But what was your favorite mentor over the years that you've been fighting?
My favorite mentor?
Favorite moment.
Oh, favorite moment in fighting? Oh, man. Well, the one that comes to recent memory, I guess, you know, I'm a big fan of Chip Sonnen. You know, I've known that guy since I was 12 years old. We wrestled at the Penn Wrestling Club. And I was really, really excited to see him beat Anderson's ass for 4.5 rounds. And he just got caught at the very end, which is disappointing. But, you know, it was kind of a highlight for me to watch him just kick the crap out of him. Because, you know, he was the only guy so far. I mean, including up to this last fight where Anderson fought Vitor, he's been the only guy to jump right in the middle of Anderson's business and just take the film the entire time. You know, he didn't get Anderson any breathing room. And that seems to be the kind of style that really conflicts with the way Anderson fights. So, you know, that was a cool moment for me.
And do you have a fighter out there that you like to watch, try to emulate at all?
I'll say that again. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Is there a fighter out there that you like to watch or emulate or try to, you know, blend their style into yours at all?
No, not really. I mean, I kind of do my own thing. I think every fighter has their own thing. So I'm not out there to try and copy anybody or emulate it. I got to do what works for me.
Right. Well, you mentioned that you did a lot of boxing training. Do you follow boxing too?
not really, man. I mean, I watch the occasional high-profile fights. Like, I'll watch, you know, Manny every now and then, or Mayweather. I know there's been a lot of talk about guys want to watch them fight or whatever, and I think it'd be an interesting fight, but, I mean, real honestly, I don't watch boxing as much as I watch MMA for obvious reasons, but, you know, I do train boxing quite a bit, but I just don't follow it nearly as much.
Yeah, it seems like the guys that that know boxing just have an automatic advantage. Is one of the best quotes I had, at least in memory, from a guy who was talking about how, you know, his style was just to keep a guy under control with the striking, you know, and just keep the fight on the feet. Whenever he wanted to go there, he could go there, and he could win the fight there. That was his style. That's what he wanted to impose just naturally in this game. That was his strength. You know, it's pretty interesting, and if you have the right boxing, you can do that. And one of the things we had on this show back and forth and through our website, we said you have boxing versus MMA debate. Like, is boxing, or is MMA going to kill the sport of boxing? Is boxing dying? You know, we had all these debates, and we had some experts. We even had where's this guy escaping my memory? One of the Shamrock brothers. We had Ken Shamrock on as an expert for MMA one time. And we had a boxing coach on named John, who was an Olympian boxer. And they got into it in the end about women in MMA and boxing. And they just had totally different ideas of, you know, whether women should be in both sports. And, you know, the MMA side of it was, you know, everything's cool. But John Scully just said he just didn't like seeing women getting beat up. And he didn't think society wanted to see that. And, man, Ken and him got into it. It was funny. We literally had to break it up at the end of that conversation. It was funny. But we talk about that a lot. And the big thing that always comes back in the end to those debates and arguments is, why can't MMA keep up with the pace that boxing does financially for these fighters? And I don't know whether it's got better over the long run, but per fight, I think the boxers seem to get way more than the MMA fighters.
Yeah, I'm hoping to see that change. I mean, I know that MMA, I mean, as the sport grows and gets older, it seems that the paychecks have kind of done the same thing. But, yeah, right now the boxers, it seems, especially the high-profile ones, are still making, you know, jobs more than the MMA guys. But, I don't know, man. Hopefully that'll change. I mean, from, you know, personally for me, I'd like to see that happen. But, you know, that's just the way it is right now.
Right. And now, what did you think about that whole UFC 126 card? I mean, obviously you had the big main event finished that everybody was probably amazed by. But what do you think about all those other fights on that card?
Well, honestly, I was just talking about this not too long ago. I think UFC 126...
unless you were there for the live event, I think it was probably a little bit of a letdown, only because there was some super hype fights that didn't turn out to be what people had expected. I mean, I was just saying, you know, Dana White was talking about the Rich Franklin Forrest Griffin fight, and he didn't expect that to go three rounds. He had anticipated it to be five of the night, and there was just a bunch of hype and energy behind the fight to be, you know, a knock him out sort of fight, and it just was completely the opposite of that. So, I don't know, it was that fight, and then some of the other fights. Miguel Torres was kind of a letdown to me, because I'd seen him fight, you know, several times in the WEC, and he was a real aggressive striker, beat people up and took it to him, and it just seemed he played a little more reserved this time around. And just, I don't know, I think some people had higher expectations, but, you know, he did his thing, he came out with the win, and, you know, he had to do what he had to do, but, you know, I think there were some fights that could have went differently, but they just, you know, they didn't live up to the hype or whatever, but it was a good fight, stacked with a lot of names and some good fights, but I think if you were there, you got a lot more chill.
All right, well, is there anybody you want to give a shout-out to or say hello to out there?
Yeah, I'd like to say hi to Matt and Brad, also my conditioning coach, Bill Claus, Jamie Hughley, my boxing coach, Trevor Brunell, my jiu-jitsu coach, and the guys at Team Quest, Tualatin, and Sports Lab Training. So that's what I'd like to thank.
All right. Any final thoughts or ideas for somebody that you might fight next?
I don't care, man. They've given me the, you know, the number two guy rank. They've given me guys that were, you know, brand new to the UFC. So I just want them to throw me somebody. I don't care who it is. I'm ready to beat somebody's ass.
29 seconds or less, right?
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. I know it's going to be a great fight. We'll definitely keep an eye on you in the future.
All right, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, bye.
All right, so that was Mike Pierce. You know, we actually, because I was on Vegas time, just really threw that whole thing together, so that was great. Even though we ended up starting late, we saved it with 10 things going. Great interview. Still with us, Tony? We lose you.
What?
Are you there? Are you there? Are you conscious?
I can't hear what you're saying.
Do you have a boxing-related question?
A boxing-related question?
Yeah, for a guest who's no longer on the phone.
Well, we really didn't get into it that much.
Listen to you.
If you asked me if you wanted to, you really didn't, so I mean, there isn't really much else to say.
Fading out?
Yeah, well, I've been getting a lot of static.
But I was talking about Floyd Mayweather. He lives right in the neighborhood here in Vegas.
Oh, yeah, right. Let's stop by his house. See how he's doing.
I'm going to go stand out in front of his house with a sign that says, Fight Manny. I want an interview. I won't ask about jail. Oh, he doesn't like it. I said it was talking about how he doesn't like his own security either. That's what he's been in trouble for lately. With the security in his neighborhood is file a case against him. Because he's been harassing people on the security staff.
Not Floyd. That's why he's always in trouble.
Yeah. Well, whatever the deal was, I don't know. He's just on a slippery slope to nowhere good. So I think it's going to be his fault more than anybody's if the fight doesn't happen. I think Manny wants to fight now. He just can't get it. And then when he tries to get it, Floyd turns around and says, there were no negotiations, right? What's up with that? You know? They don't even want to act like they're even talking to each other. We shall see. And it's a big fight, eventually.
I don't see it. And you figure Floyd's last fight was the fight against Mosley almost a year ago now, and he hasn't had anything since, any even discussion since. There's a couple discussions with Pacquiao, but you know they weren't happening. The fight's not going to happen. So don't bet on it.
All right. Straight out of the boxing ring, man, folks.
I hate to say, you know, everybody wants to see that fight, but I don't see it happening.
Hey, I'm going to go around to all the sports books and tell them to put up the numbers and odds on whether they're going to make that fight or not. I don't know where I'd bet. I'd have to bet that they make it. Because I think they will. They'll get forced to, unless there's something catastrophic happens.
It would have to be, it would really take a mediator, a third-party mediator, to sit down and say, you know what, I need to, I'm locking you in a room, locking all the managers in a room, and I'm going to put you in there with King Kong Bundy when he has gas. So you come out and you make an agreement. You'll have to gas him out.
All right, well, I don't really have anything planned. I was sort of off the cuff today. That was our one guest. So do you have any final thoughts?
Next week, are we going back to normal time, or what's going on?
Yes, we're paying for our hours now, so... I mean, we could go 2 hours tonight, but I don't know if I have anything in front of me. I'm on a foreign computer here. And I'm in Vegas, and there's stuff to do out here that needs to be done. So you probably have stuff that you plan to do after the show. The show is supposed to end.
Yeah, I got a few things that I'm, doing. I got to go. I'm probably going to work early tomorrow. I'm not too happy about that, but...
Uh-oh. I might have to go work early, too, and I'm not even technically working.
Right.
By the hour.
Well,
I'm lucky I made it out here. I pulled some strings. I made some miracles happen. But went pretty well. We had a good hearing today. I think it could be good for Fight News Unlimited in the long run. We'll see.
It'll
take a while. We know that. We've established that for one thing. Bankruptcies always take a while. But I think the judge understood partially what I was trying to get across, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. What can you say, right?
But next week we'll have a boxing guest, I truly, truly promise.
Well, like I said, we've still got Joey on that wants to do the show.
And take command. Be a maverick. Yeah. Make it happen.
Yeah.
Take command. Get it done.
Dude, I've been doing so much right now on my own goddamn job. I've been spending a lot of my spare time putting together this one article that I'm writing.
like I said, the Jordan article.
Yeah.
So I'm actually watching the fight right now for about the 898th time. Well, I'll probably watch it for the 899th, just so I can, you know, do like the blow-by-blow recap. And like I said, I remember, you know, out there and just almost every second of what was going through my mind. So that's how I'm going to write it from the first-person perspective, you know, from the weigh-in to the day to the promotions that we did all week and, you know, just give people like an inside look and then, you know, hopefully it comes out well. I've never written a first-person article like this before, so, I mean, I know my talent as a writer and covering things and writing, you know, feature articles in the past. I've just never done a first-person. You know, I don't want to come out like an article like I did this and I did that and this and that. And so, I want it to be interesting. I want people to really, I want something that they can really sink their teeth into.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Boxing is not dying.
Of course not.
Yeah, I'm going to have a new boxing toy. I think when I'm going to bring home a Chuck Liddell punching bag. So Chuck might be retired in the flesh, but in rubber, he's going to get his ass kicked. Whatever material this thing is made out of. I think they discontinued it because it doesn't hold air. I don't know if that has anything to do with comparing to the real guy, but I think it's good while he lasted. He's a great champion, good fighter. But he just had a bad chin in the end. What can you do? He's an executive now. He's making good money to wear a suit. But anyway, that's all I got. You got anything else to say?
That's all I got.
All right. Well, have a good night, and we'll see you next week with a full show. Sorry, folks, for the late start, but we're archived forever. And you can listen to us as many times as you want there.
Yeah, we had to drag Rich off the crap table, be honest.
Yeah, that's true. I lost everything. Of course, I had nothing when I got here, so that wasn't hard to do. No, but anyway, we'll see you next week. We'll be prepared.
Well, I'm always prepared.
Yeah, Tony, sorry I left you in the waiting there.
It's okay. Yeah. All right, we'll talk to you next week.
All right. All right, later. Thanks a lot. Bye, folks. Adios.